Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
What I want us to do this morning, I want us to not just give Jane a great round of applause or whatever when she comes up, but what I believe we need to do when we hear the word is we want to honour the word. And we want to honour what God wants to say in our lives. The kind of theme at the moment is choose love. And what it's about is God's love for people. Now, how many of you know God loves people? And we would all say, well, yeah, God loves people. And if God loves people, then we should love people. But, you know, when you then start speaking about different groupings of people or people in different situations, sometimes it can raise things in us where we're like, oh, I don't know if I want to, you know, or it brings up a reaction or whatever. And God is speaking to us about different people and the heart that he has for them and what his word says about people. So God's doing something in us in regards to his love for people, his love for us, his love for one another, and his love for people. And this morning Jane's going to be speaking really about God's love and his heart for Israel and the Jewish people as part of what God is doing in us this autumn, stirring up our spirit, agitating us, which is there's got to be more than this, you know, there must be more than this to see and take place in us and around us and through our lives as a people, as a church. And God's agitating us and stirring us. And part of that, God wants to speak and reveal more of his heart about Israel and the Jews. And one of the reasons why this is really important for us as well is because God's given us a bit of a mandate as a church to do with Israel, and said that we're to be a lead boat in this country to the church in this nation about bringing biblical understanding to about Israel and God's heart for the Jewish people. That's not something we've come up with. It's something that God has spoken, other people have prophesied into the life of Kingdom Faith. And we want to stay true to that. And therefore, as a church, and certainly as in each congregation, we want to make sure that we have the right understanding, that we're praying into Israel, we have a heart for the Jews, not just there, but also in our own locality, our own region. And just to make sure that we're really doing what God says and working with him and what he wants to do to continue to really communicate that. We're on a journey ourselves, we're discovering more ourselves. So I want us to welcome Jane, but also want us to really honour God for what he's going to say now and what he's going to speak into our lives. So let's give her a great welcome.
Good morning. Thanks, guys. Good morning, good morning. Can you hear me? Great. Oh, love to praise God, don't you? Love to worship him. He's done so much for us, hasn't he? Hasn't he? Oh, yeah. It's overwhelming. I get overwhelmed by what God has done. And, you know, I believe what this says. Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. We can thank God for what he's done because we know he's real in our lives. We've experienced him, well, at least I hope you have, in a powerful, life-changing way. Amen. But I also believe what this says about him and about me. I always have done since I first got saved. I read this and I take it literally, and that's why I'm just so thankful. Amen. Every day he speaks, every day he encourages. And but it was about 10 years ago when God first... I first went to Israel, and Clive and I were invited on a leader's trip, and we went and we were just open to God to whatever he wanted to say and do in us to do with Israel, because we didn't have a lot of understanding. And God met with me when I was there, different points, different places, and he spoke to me one particular place. And he put something, he did something in my heart that was to change who I was, how I saw this, and give me a whole... God was wanting to put in me a heart and understanding for a group of people that he still loved, and that I really began to realise that what I was reading in here for me, what I was speaking over my life and claiming for me and believing and just rejoicing in, he'd spoken to a group of people first, but they don't know it. And he wants them to know it.
Amen.
And he put it in my heart that he wants them to know it. Not just me, not just the lost in this nation and in the other nations. And so we're going to go through this because this is the final authority. What he did in me changed me, but it wasn't just an emotion or a feeling. It's his word, and it's his authority, which is our I don't know, the last point, if you like, beginning and the end. Okay, so we are going to look through the scriptures, and you and I need to know what God says. What he says to us, because it builds our faith, but who he first spoke it to and why. Okay, so we're going to look at Genesis 17. In fact, I'll probably just read a lot of these to you because I've got the New Living and it's slightly different. So I'm going to race through. Is that okay? You up for this morning? Yeah. You can take notes and get these scriptures yourselves. God's got a plan of salvation that he's rolling out. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And we've come into that plan, but it's not just all about us.
Right.
Okay? So he chose a man, Abraham. And I'm not going to go into too much detail because we haven't got time. It would take days to go through all of this word to do with Israel. But anyway, in Genesis 17... God speaks to Abraham and he's chosen him, called him to leave his country and to go to another place that God has got for him. Verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you, okay, by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. So God says, I will make a covenant with you. At this, Abraham fell face down on the ground, and God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you a father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abraham. Instead, you'll be called Abraham, for you'll be the father of many nations. I'll make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. And this is the everlasting covenant. What's everlasting mean? I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever. And I will be their God. Okay? And then basically, God made covenant with Abraham. He put Abraham to sleep and God walked through this covenant, okay? We're going to talk about covenant today. God reiterated this covenant to Isaac and to Jacob, and we're going to look at one more scripture in Genesis when God spoke to Jacob in Genesis 35, verse 9. God appeared to Jacob and blessed him. He's saying, your name is Jacob, but you will not be called Jacob any longer. From now on, your name will be Israel, in case you wondered where the name came from. So God renamed him Israel, and God said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. You will become a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants, and I will give you the land I once gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants after you. And God went up from that place where he had spoken to Jacob. Jacob set up a stone pillar to mark the place where God has spoken to him. We all know, if you read the scriptures, you know what kind of a person Jacob was, but God still chose him. God, if God's made covenant, God sticks to his covenant, no matter what the characters are like along the way, okay? I don't know if you remember Pastor Colin spoke a few weeks ago. It was so encouraging going through so many of the characters in the Old Testament, how they lived, what they got up to. They were murderers, they were adulterers, they were, you name it, they did it. And we've all been there, a lot of us, haven't we? We're not murderers, hopefully, but, you know, we've all blown it, haven't we? And still do. But when God's made covenant, he keeps it, thankfully. And God, you know, God went to extraordinary lengths to keep that covenant and to look after his people. And in Exodus 6, and Clive's spoken on that recently, God says, when they're in captivity in Egypt, God says, I've heard their groans and I'm well aware of my covenant with them. He's well aware what's going on in our lives.
Right.
He is well aware when we're moaning and groaning.
Yes.
when we're wondering when something's going to happen that he's promised, or how we're going to get there. God is well aware of his covenant with us. Amen? He's well aware of the plans and purposes for your life that you can't outwork, but he will. Okay? And he goes to extraordinary lengths to make sure that his plans and purposes for us happen. And so obviously we know that with Israel, when he led them out of Egypt, all the plagues and everything that he had to do to convince Pharaoh, and then he led them through parted the sea that they could come through to the promised land that he promised to give them to Abraham. He was leading them to himself, to the mountain where they were going to meet with him, and then to Canaan where they were going to live and be blessed. Leviticus 26 talks about the blessings for them if they walk with him, okay, that he gave to Moses. So this was the next part of the covenant. He gave an everlasting covenant through Abraham, then he made covenant with them when he gave them their laws and said to walk with me at Sinai with Moses. And Leviticus 26 talks about the blessings if they walk with him and the cursings if they're disobedience. And the ultimate punishment for them not walking with him was that they would be scattered from the land. And God said that he would do it because he's linked them to his land. If they walk with him, they're blessed. And if they don't, they have to leave it. Okay? That's what God put in place. And he says, I will remember my covenant with Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, even if they were scattered. He said, and I will remember the land. I will not utterly reject or despise them. I will not cancel my covenant by wiping them out. For I am the Lord their God. For their sakes, I will remember my ancient covenant. So it's all in here in black and white. Okay? When the nations are calling for their destruction, when the nations hate them, when people hate them, when even churches will speak out against them, God does not speak out against them. He loves them. You know, we have our own kids that mess up, don't they? I messed up when I was a kid. My kids mess up. But we still love them. We still love them. And they're his kids. Okay? Jeremiah 31, God says, I've loved you, my people, with an unfailing love. I am Israel's father. Israel is still my son, my darling child. I often have to punish him, but I still love him. That's why I long for him and surely will have mercy on him. The heart of God longs for people. Okay? And it longs for the Jewish people. And they're lost. And Clive just shared recently about when we were on the underground as a family. And Joe was quite young. And he jumped on the underground train. And the door shut between him and us. And the train went off. And that's those split seconds in your heart when it just stops. Your just heart just goes. Everything goes. Because he was lost for those few moments. But these guys have been lost to God for thousands of years. His heart hasn't changed. If you've lost a child, I don't think it changes with time. We just lost Joe for a few moments on the underground. But if you've actually lost a child, that doesn't go away. And that's the depth of God's heart for his people. They're still his kids. Let's have a look in Jeremiah 31. I'm glad I didn't cry then. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as the husband loves his wife. There's all kinds of love going on in there, in the heart of God, isn't there? Yeah. Love for a kid. And love for a wife. But this is a new covenant I will make with the people of Israel. Because they kept blowing it. They couldn't walk right with him. So God said, right, I'm going to do something. In Exodus 24, I missed that bit, but in Exodus 24 it says that when God made covenant and Moses stood before the people and he read the law to them, they said, "We will live by this." He sprinkled them with the blood. He sprinkled them and said, "This is now, you are now covered by this. This is the covenant sprinkled by this blood." But it couldn't last because they kept blowing it. So God says, verse 33, "This is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day. I will put my instructions deep within them and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbours, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord, and I will forgive their wickedness and will never again remember their sins. It is the Lord who provides the sun to light the day, the moon and the stars to light the night." I like this because he's saying who he is. In case you didn't realise, let me just remind you. He says, "It's the Lord who provides the sun to light the day and the moon and stars to light the night, who stirs the sea into the roaring waves. His name is the Lord of heaven's armies," and this is what he says, "I am as likely to reject my people Israel as I am to abolish the laws of nature." Amen. This is what the Lord says, just as the heavens cannot be measured. And they're discovering all the time, aren't they, just how they cannot be measured. The more they look, the more there is. "This is what the Lord says, just as the heavens cannot be measured and the foundations of the earth cannot be explored, so I will not consider casting them away. For the evil they have done, I, the Lord, have spoken. And the day is coming, says the Lord, when all Jerusalem will be rebuilt for me." For that to happen in their hearts, something massive's got to happen, because it's got to be in them, not just something written on stone tablets. There are loads of verses in Jeremiah 31 all the way to 33, in those chapters that speak of God's love. And again, he reiterates who he is, that he will never reject them as a people. We haven't got time to go through them. Ezekiel 34, I'm going to read some of this to you. Is this okay? Yeah. And this is what happens again when they're scattered. "For this is what the Sovereign Lord says in Ezekiel 34, verse 11. I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their land of Israel from among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and all the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. They will lie down in pleasant places and feed in the lush pastures. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the Sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away." And this is what God is speaking to us about, isn't it? He's going after the lost. "All people that don't know him are lost to him. But he called Israel his fold, his flock, that we come into and call ourselves the flock, don't we? In the New Testament. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak." And there's loads more in there, and really strong how God says it. He says in Ezekiel, "For the honour of his name, he brings them home and pours out his spirit on them. His covenant is to the people and the land together." And in Ezekiel 36, he calls it his land, in case anybody's wondering who it belongs to. Isaiah 49 is a really important, and I hadn't seen this. I love, there's loads of chapters in Isaiah that I read and speak over myself over the years. There's some amazing promises and just God's love in Isaiah. And then I saw this where God, in Isaiah 49, verse 5, it says, "And now the Lord speaks, the one who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him." So this is Jesus speaking, okay? This is the Messiah. It's prophetic of the Messiah. It says, "The Lord has honoured me, and my God has given me strength. He says, 'You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Come on. Thank God, because I wouldn't be standing here today. Verse 8, and this is what the Lord says. At just the right time, I will respond to you. On the day of salvation, I will help you. I will protect you and give you to the people as my covenant with them. And through you, I will reestablish the land of Israel again and assign it to its own people. That's very interesting. Jesus is commissioned, the Messiah is commissioned to bring the people of Israel back, to bring light to us, but to restore the land back to its original purpose. Okay? Verse 13, sing for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on them in their suffering. Yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us, the Lord has forgotten us. Never, never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? Even if that were possible, even if that were possible, God says, I will not forget you. So I've written on your name on the palms of my hands. And always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins. Soon your descendants will come back and all who are trying to destroy you will go away. Look around you and see, for all your children will come back to you as surely as I live, says the Lord. That whole chapter, again, I haven't got time, but the whole thing is amazing about what he has done for them. And we read it and say, this is what he's done for us. But we know it now. But there's a group of people that he originally spoke this to that don't know it. You know, we were singing that song this morning. Did you say it was Jesus our Messiah?
You are my Savior.
You are my Savior, that's the one. Yeah. You are my Savior. His love came. I don't sing it about me. I'm saved. I'm sorted. I sing it about them. I say, your love came for them. Your blood came for them. I can't remember the rest of it, but anyway, if we get time, we can sing it over them at the end. He came for them. We can sing it over them. We can declare it over them. We're there. We're sorted. You are there and you are sorted. His blood, the blood of Jesus, sprinkled on us once for all. It was his covenant with them. That covenant can never be broken. That blood was shed. And on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. He said, Father, forgive them. And many in the church over the centuries said the Jews killed Jesus. They should be killed. But he forgave them on the cross. And anyway, it was God who put him there, not the Jews and the Romans. It was God. It was his plan to save us. He forgave them and he said, it's done. It is finished. When he went to the cross, some had rejected him, mainly the leaders, but many hadn't. All the original church that we belonged to were Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. The disciples were Jewish. Thousands and thousands that first got saved were Jewish. Thousands of Jewish people got saved. That was how the church started. And we're going to look in Romans because we've been in the Old Testament. But we need to look in the New because some people say, well, all the promises were just in the Old. The New doesn't refer to we need to read our Bibles, don't we? Romans. A lot of Romans, actually. Paul is speaking to the church, the believers in Rome, about Jew and Gentile. And these three chapters are solely on this. And we're going to look at different passages in Romans. In Romans 9, 1 to 6, Paul was Jewish. He was a rabbi, full on for the law, full on for God, but missing it. And then Jesus met with him, didn't he? And he says, with Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. They are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them his law. He gave them the privilege of worshipping him and receiving his wonderful promises. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob are their ancestors, and Christ himself was an Israelite as far as his human nature is concerned. And he is God, the one who rules over everything and is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. We're going to go on to chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his own people, the nation of Israel? Of course not. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. No, God has not rejected his own people whom he chose from the very beginning. First down to verse 11. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. They were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the Gentiles. Okay, that's you and I. If we're not Jewish, we're a Gentile. But he wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves. Now, if the Gentiles were enriched, we've become enriched because the people of Israel turned down God's offer of salvation when they didn't believe in him. It says, think how much greater a blessing the world will share when they finally accept it. There's something coming that we've never seen before. There's something coming when the Jewish people finally accept and believe in the Messiah, our Messiah. Something is going to be going on in this world. There's more. There's more. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has got planned in store for those who love him. Amen. He says, I'm saying all this specially for you Gentiles. Okay? God has appointed me the apostle to the Gentiles. I stress this for I somehow want to make the people of Israel jealous for what you Gentiles have, so I might save some of them. For since their rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, their acceptance will be even more wonderful. It will be life for those who were dead. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy. Okay? It says, if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. Now, this is important. It says, now some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. You Gentiles, who are branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. Okay, so he's talking to Gentiles who now believe. Now, he still calls us Gentiles. He doesn't call us the new Israel. This is really important. Because a lot of the church say, we're the new Israel. He's forgotten them. There's no covenant left for them. It's not true. And you need to know where it's not true, where it says it. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches who were broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. Okay? Christianity is not all about us. It's not all about us. It didn't start with us, and it's not going to end with us. We've been grafted in. Okay? We've been grafted in. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yeah, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. And you are there because you do. Don't think so highly of yourself, but fear God, fear what could happen. We need to stay close to the Lord. We need to stay close to, plugged into him. Amen, and plugged into his word. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He's severe toward those who disobeyed, but kind to you if you continue to trust in his kindness. Okay? Continue to trust in who he is. If you stop trusting, you also can be cut off. If the people of Israel turn from their unbelief, they will be grafted in again, for God has the power to graft them back into the tree. Okay, if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by bringing us in, he'll be far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so you'll not feel proud about yourselves. Unfortunately, the church stopped reading this word after a few hundred years. They did become proud, and they did start rejecting their Jewish roots and the Jewish people. And so much of the writings in a couple of thousand years, really, against the Jewish people led to so much persecution and killing. And eventually, those writings were used by Hitler in the Holocaust. That's what he used against the Jewish people. He thought he was doing God's job by killing them. That's what pride does. That's why it's so dangerous. Do not be proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts. They can be hard-hearted. If you go over there, they can be so arrogant and rude. It says, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. There's a number of Gentiles that are to come. Okay? God knows what that number is. And then it says, and so all Israel will be saved. As the scriptures say, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem. This is quoting Jeremiah 31. We've just looked there. The one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. And this is my covenant with them. I will take away their sins. Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, and this benefits you Gentiles. Yet they are still the people he loves because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Amen. Amen. It's cool, isn't it? Once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when the people of Israel rebelled against him, God was merciful to you instead. Now they are rebels. God's mercy has come to you or to us, so that they too will share in God's mercy. How are they going to share in God's mercy? Through the mercy he's shown us. There's no other way. We have the revelation of the mercy of God. We have this, and we can take it back to them. Amen. Amen. Okay. Romans 15, 6 to 8 says, remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to his promises he made to their ancestors. He's saying, remember, don't forget, he came first of all to serve them, love them, show them the way to God, because God has made covenant and he will not go back on it. He's not gone back on it. Amen. We are to be merciful. We are to be merciful. We're not to judge. We know we're not to judge anyway. But he wants to make them jealous of who is theirs, rightfully theirs, the Messiah, that we have come to believe, that we love, that who loves us. He wants to make them jealous. We're to be reconciled with them. And that's the day that I believe that we're in as a church. That as the church of Jesus, their Messiah, we are reconciled, Jew and Gentile. We're going to look there, Ephesians 3, Ephesians 2. And this is important because these are the days that we're in. One of the biggest miracles that's happening at the moment are with the thousands of Muslims being saved in the nations, having dreams and visions of Jesus. And with many of them coming to the Lord and realizing from Scripture this love, this call on the Jewish people who they've been against for so long, that they grow up being told lies about, and then they realize that their Messiah is actually Jewish and that he loves his brothers and sisters and that they need to. So Muslims getting saved and then loving their brothers and sisters. Okay? Ephesians 2. It says, verse 11, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. you were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. It's his blood that breaks down the hostility. If you have any hostility in your heart toward anybody, but especially the Jewish people, the blood of Jesus can break that down if you let him. Amen. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people, or one new man, from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. And now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. It's family God is after. It's family, all of us together. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Verse 6, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Verse 10, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's something that happens in the spirit when Jew and Gentile are together. When they believe together, when they worship together, when they can come together. There's something that happens that the whole of the spirit world sees. And it's, Paul calls it a mystery, but he says it's God's plan. Okay? I believe it's time that we're involved in God's plan. God gave me a scripture recently in Genesis 14:14, where Abraham and his nephew Lot were on their journey to the promised land, and they separated. They went their separate ways to pick a piece of land each that they would settle in for a while. And Lot chose the piece of land that he did, and it was near Sodom and Gomorrah, and looked the best piece of land, and he chose it, and he went there and settled there. And then the kings in that region went to war with each other, and Lot was carried off by the enemy. His whole family were taken captive. And it says that when Abraham found out, he rallied his men and he went after Lot. Okay? Now, he could have stood back and said, well, Lot chose to be there. That's his problem. It's nothing to do with me anymore. But Lot was his nephew. They were family. And the first thing Abraham did was go after him. And he went after him, overtook him, went the length of the country, and rescued Lot, overtook the enemy and brought him back, and brought him back into everything that was his. And and God's that's his heart for the lost, whether it's one of our family members. And this is a personal word for Clive and I, that he's asked something of us in this season. But it's bigger than that, isn't it? It's will we go after those? Will we go after them that the enemy's taken, that he's deceived, members of our family, that we can say, well, they've made their choices? It's like, no, The heart of God is to go after them. But he's looking for people that will. And that's what he's doing at the moment, isn't he? Stirring our hearts with his heart that we will go after the lost. Whether it's the lost sheep in his family, whether it's the lost that we know and we love. You know, with Jesus, when he cried out over Jerusalem in Matthew 23, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that you would let me gather you together under my wings, but you wouldn't let me. And he said, now desolation is coming to your house and you won't see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So there's an until in there. He didn't say, you're not ever going to see me again. You've blown it this time. He says, until you cry out to me. And he is quoting Psalm 118, and it's an amazing psalm. And I was reading it the other day after, you know what happened with the synagogue in Jerusalem? I don't know if you heard, where some terrorists got in there and just slaughtered four rabbis, three American and one British, Jewish rabbis, as they're praying. And I was praying, and I read Psalm 118, where they're crying out to God with their enemies surrounding them and attacking them. And there's a verse in there where it says, please, Lord, save us. Please, Lord, rescue us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Right. Yeah. And we can pray that. Yeah. You can speak that, Psalm 118, over them, that they will get to the point where they cry out. They've been crying out for the Messiah for years, but they need to cry out to and recognize Jesus, or Yeshua to them in Hebrew. Recognize he is their Savior to come and deliver them, to come and save them, to come and rescue. And he says he will. He will. But they've got to know about him. They've got to know about him. And that's our job. Amen? You can pray and speak scriptures over them. Isaiah 62 is all about Jerusalem coming into her rightful place. You can pray and speak that over them. You can pray Psalm 122, the peace of Jerusalem. And that's them getting on revelation of the Prince of Peace, Jesus. Peace is not going to come any other way. There's no man's blueprint. There's no man's dividing up the land that's going to bring peace. Only Jesus, because he's taken away the hostility in our hearts, can bring the peace that they need. So pray for them, speak the word over them, declare the word. When I was in Jerusalem recently, I was there during one of their festivals, and I pray over here, and I go over there and I pray when God leads me to. And this festival is the Feast of Tabernacles, which, by the way, in Zechariah 14, God says, we will all go up to Jerusalem and celebrate. You read it, Zechariah 14, the nations, when Jesus is ruling and reigning in the earth, all the nations will go up to the mountain of the Lord at the Feast of Tabernacles and worship him. So find out what it is, because you're going to be there enjoying it. I was there, and I went to the Wailing Wall, where they go, and that's at the Temple Mount, where you're hearing about all the fighting going on at the moment, all the trouble. And I've been there many times. I've never seen so many Jewish people. So many there praising God, dancing, singing, rejoicing, because that's what God says to do at the Feast of Tabernacles. And I was overwhelmed with the heart of God standing in the middle of all of these men and women. There were thousands and thousands of them. But as one of the places I was praying in Jerusalem with somebody else in this church, we're realizing how much bloodshed has gone on in Jerusalem, more than any other place on the planet. The bloodshed that's gone on for thousands of years over that place, and that's still going on. And when I was there, God just put this little phrase. He said, the blood of Jesus speaks louder. The blood of Jesus speaks louder. And whatever is going to come in that place, as the nations come against Jerusalem and the people of Israel, whatever blood is spilt, the blood of Jesus speaks louder. His covenant, he will come about. He will return to them. Amen. For such a time as this, we're called. The church is called. as the nations seek to come against and divide the city of Jerusalem, where it's now back in their hands from 1967 onwards. For such a time as this, we're to be involved. And I love this. I was reading this the other day. And God says this. He said, the God who stretched out the heavens. Okay, just think about this a moment. The God who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and formed the human spirit. Okay, so there's no doubting who he's saying he is. Okay? It says he will fight for Jerusalem. And he will pour out his spirit on the family of David. That's in Zechariah again. There's so much in Zechariah, especially the last few chapters of what God is going to do. And I believe that's the days that we are in. There's no arguing with who he is there? No arguing with his word. God said to Abraham, and he said it in other places, whoever blesses you is blessed. Whoever curses you is cursed. And that word curse there is also, because that sounds quite heavy, doesn't it? We can say, well, we wouldn't curse anybody. But it says, actually, whoever holds you in contempt and whoever holds lightly the covenant I made with you. And there's a lot of the church even that hold lightly that God made covenant. And God takes that seriously. That we don't believe this. You all right? Cool. We're to support them. Isaiah 49 that we read about where Jesus commissioned to save them, it says the Gentiles will bring them home. The Gentiles will carry them in their arms. The Gentiles will bring wealth from their nations. That's us. The secular world isn't going to do it. It's believers. Gentiles that believe this, we're going to support them. We're going to give to them. There's a lot of poverty in Jerusalem. There's so many returning, there's not enough resources to go round. Romans 15:27, Paul says of different churches in the region, they were glad to take up an offering since they felt they owed the Jews a real debt as they had received the gospel from the believers in Jerusalem. So we can give to them. We can give back into them. Paul said, and we need to do this. I need to do this. If I go over there or if I meet them here, God asked me, he spoke to me about taking Hebrew lessons. And it's not just so that I can understand it or go and speak with them, which is what I want to do when I go, just to get through the airport without hassle would be nice. but it's to be amongst them and to love them and to have wisdom. And Paul prayed at the end of Ephesians 6. He said, pray for me, pray for the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan of the good news for Jew and Gentile. We need, as well as the right heart, we need the right words to boldly proclaim. Okay? So you're hearing some of them today. To understand their ways and their festivals so we can relate to them is important. Okay? We don't try and become Jewish. That's not our role. And they don't stop being who they are because they have a role. They have a role in certain things that God asked them to do forever. The Sabbath, honouring who he is. The festivals, honouring who he is. So understand them. Understand their ways. And as we do, I believe God will bring them to us. Because they are actually all around us. But they may not let on. They may be hidden. They might not even know, but God knows. But as we love and understand, I believe, and I'm praying, that as thousands and thousands of houses are being built in our region, in our town, and as the wealth in this nation increases, because it's going to, because we're blessed, God's going to bring Jewish people here. And we need to be ready. We need to love them. And we need to understand them. And we need to be their friend. That is the main thing we need to be to Jewish people. They have no friends. Alistair and Connie, could you just briefly come up and just share the story that you shared with me recently? Alistair and Connie do amazing work with lots of different ministries to do with Israel. And they can just share how you can practically get involved and support, as well as just being friends with with Jewish people. Oh, microphone, sorry, could you bring that up? Thanks, mate.
Hallelujah. That's an amazing message we've heard today. Ooh, I tell you what, it's so much in there. I know I want a copy of it for a start. Praise the Lord. I really do believe that God has called us as a church, not only as the lead boat, but also as watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. But also more than that, I believe God has called us to be a watchman on the walls of our communities. You can see that with the work that Helena does, with the work that Clive is carrying in his heart for salvation in our community, in Horsham, Crawley, the areas where we live. In the care that we have for people who are needy. Mm. It's such an important call. But most important of all is, of course, the first priority is always to the Jew first. So having that love, loving the things that God loves is so important. Mm. Yeah. God never hates people. He hates sin. Mm. He hates the lies, but he doesn't hate the liar. Mm. He hates delusion, but he doesn't hate the deluded. Mm.
Yeah.
He hates division, but he doesn't hate the divider. Mm. He loves them. And it's important for us to love what God loves, and the Jews are right up there. Now, I'll get Connie to actually share, but we do work monthly in Brighton and in Shepparton, teaching about what we've heard today, Israel, bringing messages from Israel, relevant and up to date. It was just before summer, we were doing the Moriah meeting in Shepparton, and a couple who were part of the regular members there, the congregation, had brought two Jewish ladies with them. And they really got involved. They heard the message of Yeshua and really touched their hearts. But they talked to us afterwards of how much they felt hated by the society in which they live. Now, these were people living in community in London. They were living in the Kingston area. And they were afraid to go out because they were rejected. People in the shops would snarl at them, not serve them. Well, this is Kingston, you know. Very sort of middle class, well-to-do, well-educated area. I'm going to pass it on to Connie because she's up here with me.
Thanks. Yeah, we didn't know that there were two Jewish ladies sitting in the congregation that evening. And we had been asked by Barry and Batya Siegel if we would actually talk about Passover and Shavuot. So we were there actually speaking to the congregation about one of the feasts of Israel. And these two ladies had been brought along, and one of them had been before, so she kind of knew the kind of things that they might experience there. But the other lady had come rather reluctantly and was sitting there expecting to, you know, hate us all and be rejected, and was not full of faith at all. And she was about, I would say, late 70s, an elderly lady, very sweet. Later when we spoke to her, we found out what a gentle, loving person she was. And during the time that we were teaching about the feast, she kept standing up and speaking out and giving us more information that we had perhaps not understood from a Jewish point of view, which was fun. And, of course, a very Jewish thing to do that, even in the synagogues, where the women, you know, sometimes have a lot to say. And, of course, Paul told them not to, but they didn't listen, obviously, and still wanted to have their two-penneth. And at the end of the meeting, they both came up to us and they said, you know, how is it you know more about us than we know about ourselves? And we said to them, well, you graciously have been brought on this earth so that we could have the oracles of God. And, you know, you have shared with us the Word of God. And it's from the Word of God that we have learned so much, and from practical experience of going to Israel and back again. And so we started a really long conversation with them. And the woman who'd been before was approached by the lady who'd come and went off somewhere else. And I was left talking to this old lady. And I said to her, how long have you lived in England? And she said, 39 years. And I said, do you like living here? She said, no, I hate it. And I said, why is that? And she said, I've never been welcome. I've never felt welcome. So I asked her if she lived in a a Jewish community, and she said, yes, they lived by the River Thames in a quite well-to-do area, but they lived as a Jewish community, so everybody knew that the people in that area were Jews. And I said, well, what has your experience been then? And she said, well, for example, when she took her daughter to school, people would push her out of the way so that she didn't get on the bus. And sometimes she would go to the shops and they would say, don't serve that woman, she's a Jew. And I thought, I can't believe this is my country I'm hearing this in. And I felt so ashamed, and I asked her if she would please forgive us, and that we, you know, there were people who didn't behave like that, and that that Alistair and I represented God's church here in England, and we wanted to make sure that the church was a place of welcome for our Jewish brothers and sisters. And I asked her, have you ever been invited to a Christian's home? And she looked at me absolutely aghast and said, of course not. Nobody's ever invited me to their home. So I said to her, well, would you like to come to our home? And she just burst into tears. And she said, I've never felt love till I walked into this room tonight. She said, this is the first place I have ever experienced love. And I thought, this is what we're about, mm-hmm. church. Mm-hmm. This is the place mm-hmm. where they have to come, where we make them welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. What a story, eh? And that's going on all around us, and we don't realise. A friend of mine, the old guy in Brighton that I see every other week, who teaches me Hebrew, he's had some awful experiences from churches in Brighton and beyond. And I'm determined, and I invited him today, but he teaches in the synagogue on a Sunday morning, so as well as being there on a Saturday, so he couldn't come, but he would have done. He's really open, and we're great friends. He's such a lovely guy, and he loves the word. That's why he can teach, you know. He loves the word of God, and he examines it, and we talk about it. And on Thursday, I was there, we talked the whole time about Jesus. I was talking to him about Psalm 118 and what it says. And it's amazing. I love it. I just love being with them, because it's God's heart. I just want to build a relationship to the point where they know there's love. And this is real friendship. This isn't just about converting them, which was the church's history for so long. And if they didn't, that was the end of that. So the days that we're in, I believe, the call from the heart of God is really key. And it's key for this nation. The last thing I want to share with you, we've slightly gone over, sorry, but I want to share this. There's a guy called Harald Eckhart, who's German. And I know him. He's an amazing guy. He is involved with ECI, European Coalition for Israel, in Europe and in the European Parliament. He has organised an initiative coming up between January and May. So January the 27th is the Memorial Day for when Auschwitz was liberated. And then May the 13th, I think it's May the 13th or the 8th, around that week, was the end of the Second World War. There's 70 years... Okay, this has happened. And there's 100 days between the January and the May where they're calling the church to pray, not just for Israel, but to pray for the Jewish people in our nations and to pray for our nations. And he's written a book called Israel, the Nations and the Valley of Decision. And I believe they're the days that we're in, where nations are making decisions to do with Jerusalem and the Jewish people, that's going to affect their destinies as nations. That's going to affect their standing before God. And if you go online and look up 100days-EU, okay, www.100days-EU, you can read the whole thing about this initiative they've got where they're calling the nations. It's a global prayer call. And he's not the only one. There are so many people that believe our nations are at this moment in a valley of decision to do with Israel that's massive. And you can go online and you can also download the book free, or you can order the book free. So I urge you to go online, download the book free, order the book free, get a few copies. If you get more than a couple of copies, send them some money for it, obviously. Please read this book. This is key for the church. This is key for the church and the salvation of our nation and the salvation of the Jewish people. Amen? Will you do that?
Yes.
Amen. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, you are the one who stretched out the heavens. You stretched out the heavens. You laid the foundations of the earth. And you formed the human spirit. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you that you are faithful. That you made covenant. And you have kept it. We thank you for Jesus coming, shedding his blood. And saying, it's done. We thank you that we believe in you, that we believe that you love us and we love you back, Lord. We thank you that you made covenant with the Hebrews, with the Jewish people. That, Lord, they're your children and you still love them. Your heart longs for them, your lost children to come back to you. Your heart yearns for them to come into all the blessings that we enjoy. We thank you that we've heard your heart loud and clear. It's all in your word. And we thank you, Lord, you forgive us if we've been proud. Forgive us if we've been hostile. Forgive us if we've looked at what's going on in these days and had our own opinion that stood against your word and your heart. Lord, let us all be available to reach out, to understand, to save the Jewish people. And I ask you to bring them into our neighborhood. Reveal them, Lord, reveal them. May we be friends to them. May we lead them in love to you, their Messiah. And I pray, Father, this church will stand with you and not against you. I pray this church will stand with the Jewish people in the days ahead when the nations are shaking, when you are moving, when all hell is breaking loose because Jesus, you're coming back soon. That we will stand with your word. We will stand with your people when everyone else rejects them. And love is the thing that keeps us to you, keeps us close to you, walking with you, Jesus. And love's going to be the thing that keeps us in the days ahead. Love for you and love for them. And Father, I pray this church comes into a new place next year. Lord, I know you're calling many here to stand and pray for the Jewish people.
Lord, you're calling your church in the nations to stand with you in this plan and purpose that you're rolling out in the nations, this plan and purpose you're rolling out for Israel to come into their destiny, whatever that's going to look like, Lord. I pray this church comes into a new place in that plan, that we get the bigger picture, each one of us, that this lead boat isn't down to a few manning it. It's not down to just the leader saying this is the direction. All hands on deck. All hands on deck. All hands on deck in this boat to do with Israel. That every one of us would have the right words and the boldness to speak in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.